This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And a good Monday afternoon. A rough day on Wall Street. The Dow closing down 890 points today. 890 points. That's 2%.
Hey, I have confirmed if you stick around in the 4 o'clock hour, the same scam that snared two of my girlfriends. They sort of knew each other, like friends of friends of friends. One of them texts me and says, hey, I need so-and-so's phone number. I think I've been scammed and she's been hacked. Mm. And this is the old, I'm selling six cars, kick me $500 or $1,000. I need to sell them quickly. My uncle has just died. You know, one of those.
Wow.
The second person I know just had this happen. He was hacked this morning, and that I'm selling six cars thing is now on his Facebook page. He cannot get it removed. He cannot access his page. You certainly cannot access anyone at the gigantic company in the sky that is Facebook. There's just no remedy when something like this happens, and he's going to join us at 4 o'clock to talk about it.
Okay. Just checking in on, I believe this one is Jackie. She is sitting on top of the kids, keeping them warm.
Is there a dot above the eye or
yes,
not?
Yes, that's what I was looking for.
Okay.
Thank you,
Texter. Eagles are doing fine.
The eaglets are doing well. I have not seen them today because mom is keeping them warm. She is scouting the horizon for any threats.
Has the snow passed?
The snow has passed, okay. But there is snow in the nest.
Oh.
Yep.
Mm. You know what's happening in the Blue Springs Eagle nest?
Nothing.
No, do tell.
Nothing.
Nothing yet?
Nope.
Right. Go to KMBZ.com, check it out, click on the link.
You want to look at an empty nest?
It's quiet.
Nothing
There's
going
a
on.
That's all right.
The Buffalo Bills will be having Josh Allen behind center for quite some time.
How much?
He is booked through the 2030 season now. A record, six-year, $330 million contract.
Okay.
That is more than Patrick Mahomes makes.
Wow.
$250 million of that is guaranteed. It is the largest guaranteed total ever given to an NFL player.
I know we all kind of freaked out because the Mahomes contract was so big at the time.
$50 million a year.
Now, I believe he is not even in the top 10 highest paid quarterbacks.
It is getting obscene.
Yeah.
But Mahomes is sitting pretty.
It is obscene. MVP last season, 4,200 yards, 41 total touchdowns, blah, 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 blah.
How many Super Bowls has he won?
Right.
Zero. How many has he been to?
Address something that is in the op-ed section of the Kansas City Star today. You probably heard, because it went crazy viral, that our own Xavier Worthy was arrested over the weekend on some domestic violence incident.
The accusation was that he choked his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend. Nobody really knows their relationship, but he was arrested Friday night.
So this has since gone viral. He has broken his silence. This is from Us Weekly. I cannot believe I'm
I've got the details
citing that. But he wrote New Beginnings on his Instagram page, all right? And it was just a photo of him lounging in a bed with one hand resting on his forehead. News broke on Saturday that he had been arrested in Texas the day before for alleged assault against a family or household member. At the time, the Chiefs organization came out with a statement. They said they were aware and gathering information, dot, dot, dot. However, Worthy was then released several hours later, and the district attorney declined to press charges.
Yeah, so the district attorney called out for a number of witnesses who were allegedly in the home at the time of the domestic assault and asked them what happened, and they all agreed that it was a fabricated story, that he was completely innocent, and what the female alleged had happened
did not
happen. Apparently, this has been a saga, according to attorneys for Worthy, that has been going on for a couple of weeks. According to the statement from the attorneys, Worthy discovered, quote, infidelity in their relationship. We can all draw some conclusions on what that means. And he asked her to move out of the home multiple times over the course of 2 weeks. She said no, 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 no. And then it escalated. She called the cops. And in situations where there are allegations of domestic abuse, no matter what, at the end of the day,
you've got to go.
Somebody's getting arrested.
So the complainant was asked multiple times over 2 weeks to vacate, which, by the way, a private investigator has video evidence of them asking her repeatedly to leave. She refused to vacate and then made a number of extortive efforts.
Trying to smear his name.
Extortive efforts. She then further destroyed a room in the residence, scratched Mr. Worthy's face, and ripped out parts of his hair, for which there is also photographic evidence. But keep in mind, he was arrested and taken away in handcuffs.
Why wasn't she arrested?
Bingo.
He's the one with missing hair and scratches on his face.
I do believe that those three incidents that they referred to were not the same incident. I think the room terrorizing was one incident. The face scratching was a separate incident.
You start to see why he said, please leave my house. And so the Star has an opinion piece today, and it says, Xavier Worthy deserved the presumption of innocence. Mm-hmm. The guilt is for the rest of us. Hmm. It goes on to how all of this ended up coming out in the wash. And, you know, I think it is worth saying that the NFL does not have a great
track record
when it comes to these sorts of things. Okay. Awful assaults that did happen were caught on tape, like all of those things, players, you know, arrested and or slapped on the wrist. Like, we know there's this history. Mm-hmm. So that when there is something that does not happen and there's an arrest, everyone jumps to the conclusion based on
The history
that this must have happened.
Assumptions that he's guilty of it.
I saw the press release on Saturday and immediately thought to myself, not again.
Not again.
I didn't even think for half a second that it was a fabricated story.
Wherever that story ends up in the paper or online, I use the word retraction a little bit loosely here, but the counter story that he has been exonerated by prosecutors, no charges will be filed, everything that you thought was right is wrong, should be placed at the exact same spot in the paper, the exact same place in a newscast on local TV, and the exact same place on the websites.
But it never happens that way. The accusation gets all of the coverage.
I know.
Listen to the Star. If you Googled his name on Saturday before the moment he was being released from jail, the second most prominently displayed article was a commentary about his involvement, quote, in a domestic violence incident. Not a word reserved for the next steps in the case or the lack of a next step.
Well, people will see the thing and then they'll just run with it and they
presume he's guilty.
Look for any kind of update and just assume that the first thing was correct.
All right, let's take the break a little bit early. We've got Dr. Dana on. He is ready to go. If you were on the show on Friday, you learned that the wife of Gene Hackman, it is thought that she died a week before he did from complications due to hantavirus, which you get from rodents. Dr. Danny can explain that to us in just a moment. Also, sadly, there has been a second measles-related death in New Mexico. He's an expert. We'll talk to him about that as well, coming up in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. The man has the patience of Job. We'll get with Dr. Dana Hawkinson here in just a moment. If you were on the show with us on Friday, we carried the news conference out of New Mexico where we learned, along with you, that Gene Hackman most likely survived a week after his wife, Betsy, had passed. And it is thought, it is believed, that she died from complications due to hantavirus, which is normally acquired, if not exclusively acquired, from rodents. It is not contagious person to person. So we have a million questions. Dana, immediately when they said hantavirus, looks at me and goes, that's from rats. Yes, it is. Let's bring in Dr. Dana Hawkinson with the University of Kansas Health System and good friend of the program. Dr. Dana, welcome.
Hi, it's good to be here.
So I was saying this on Friday, Dr. Hawkinson. I had not even heard that term since my childhood because I remember my mom, you know, was deathly afraid of mice and rats and all of those things. And she would mention that was one of the diseases you could get. How rare is that? And, you know, the 30 to 50% survival rate was just stunning to us.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think Parks was exactly correct. It is very difficult to get. It is very rare. And it does not spread human to human. It is spread by the deer mouse. Mostly people acquire it when they are cleaning up mouse poop, if they've had an infestation and they're brushing or sweeping things, and then some of that dust and some of the particles get aerosolized into the air and you breathe them in. But overall, it is extremely difficult to get. It is very rare. It does occur most often in that southwest area. We know in 2024 there was a case in Washington State, and in 2021 there was a case of hantavirus infection. That person survived, but that was up in Michigan as well. So it is around.
Why is it so fatal?
You know, I think it is a combination of factors. Number one, there isn't a treatment. Number two, probably by the time the disease takes hold, the lungs, the pathology, the disease in the lungs, the inability to have the lungs working correctly, and the damage that is occurring most likely from the inflammation and the body's response, it is just too great to overcome. I think those are probably the main reasons why it is fatal.
Because we saw the symptoms can mimic the flu. And so you probably wouldn't think of all things that that's what's going on with you if it happens.
Yeah, no, and we continue to want to emphasize this is an extremely rare disease. You are certainly more likely right now out in the community. You're more likely to be exposed to influenza or COVID, maybe even measles now, who knows? Much more than you are going to be exposed to hantavirus.
Can you tell us, is it a small number of droppings, or do you have to be like cleaning out a shed that is full of it and not wearing a mask kind of thing?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, from what I understand, most people are cleaning out old sheds or rooms that have been infested. They are doing a lot of sweeping. It is very dry. The dust is getting kicked up into the air. And again, no PPE. I would say that if you think you have mouse droppings in your house and you're worried about infestation, number one, you can try to kill them yourself or seek professional help. That is always the best. But if you are cleaning up, it is probably best to use some precautions. Just as like you said, a mask, you can buy those at the hardware store, gloves, eye protection, and most importantly, also wash your hands after doing that.
You mentioned measles just a moment ago. Let me read to you, if I could, Doctor, a story here from BBC. A measles outbreak in the American Southwest has killed a second person, an unvaccinated adult, according to health officials in New Mexico. The fatality comes roughly a week after measles took the life of an unvaccinated child in nearby Texas, the first U.S. death from the disease, measles, since 2015. Measles, which was considered eliminated in the United States in 2000, is spreading quickly in Texas, 198 cases as of Friday. In the same span, the cases in New Mexico have tripled to 30. This is the most contagious disease known to man, and yet people go unvaccinated from it.
Yeah, no, it is a significant tragedy when you have somebody who's falling sick with this in this country, just as you said, when it was declared eliminated in 2000. It is such a tragedy that a young person, a child who can't make decisions on their own, is afflicted with this, you know, either complications or even death. And even this other older person who is dying of this disease from a wheel that was invented 6 decades ago with a very safe, very effective vaccine to stop really essentially all of the complications and deaths from this disease.
Why is it so contagious?
You know, because the biggest reason is that it is truly airborne in its transmission. So it can be droplet, meaning if somebody is coughing and sneezing, it can end up in the droplets. Those can drop to the floor, the high touch surfaces, but more importantly, it is airborne in the air. So when somebody has it and they are expressing the virus out into the environment, that can linger in the air for up to 2 hours. So if somebody's sick at church or going through a grocery store or an airplane terminal and they have it, it can linger in that space for up to 2 hours and people can be walking by inhaling it in.
So nice weather is finally here. We were at a lake over the weekend, Dr. Hawkinson. Like, anything we need to know as we move into like lake season? We saw a couple of very unfortunate high-profile deaths with respect to bacteria and disease in our lake waters last summer. I think it's just a good reminder.
Yeah, I mean, the first foremost is always understand the situation that you're going into. If you do get injured, particularly cuts and scrapes in fresh water or out in the environment, make sure you wash and clean that with soap and water. That is really the best thing. And then keep it dry and covered. Wash your hands frequently, especially if you're out in the environment and you're eating or putting your hands in your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Those are vitally important. We know that people are going to be out walking their dogs and animals. If you do get an animal bite, it is really good to seek medical care. Again, first and foremost, wash it with soap and water, clean it, dry it, try to go to see a medical professional. Dog bites and cat bites, especially cat bites, have extremely high rate of infection that can lead to significant impairment and disease, especially of the hands where those are the most common bites.
Hey, doctor, back to the measles for just a quick moment. I just thought of something. Why is it, and you're the expert in this, we're not, so I ask completely out of ignorance, as I often do, why is it that with the flu or with COVID, you have to get a vaccination every year, and obviously a vaccination does not guarantee you're not going to get it. It just heightens your ability to protect yourself from it. But we have to get a flu vaccine or a COVID vaccine, you know, every year, give or take. But one MMR vaccine when you're a kid, two actually.
Yeah, we're good.
You're protected at a heightened rate for life.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think you are very knowledgeable about all the things that we've talked about. But I think that's a good example of just life and the differences between every single thing. You know, these viruses are completely different. They are completely different from smallpox, which was eradicated from this planet. It has to deal with what kind of virus is it? What kind of vaccine can we create? What is our body's response to that? There are a multitude of factors as to why two vaccine doses, 20 to 30, 40 years ago is enough for protection. Whereas for influenza, because it's that virus changes every year, changes very easily. COVID changes very easily. So that's why we need to get a vaccine every year for that. So there are a multitude of factors as to why some vaccines are better against protecting against disease and the complications of those diseases than our other ones. We would ultimately like to have the same protection, excellent protection for all of these vaccine preventable diseases that we have. But we don't have that yet. The technology is continuing to improve. But right now, you know, this is what we have, unfortunately.
That's what we got.
Doctor, 30 seconds or less, if we could. Several questions coming in from the text line right now. Do you recommend that people who are a bit older get a measles booster?
Yeah. Right now, the CDC recommendation is that if you were born before 1957, you are good to go. You are immune. And if you were born after that, please check and find your vaccine history. If you can, talk with your medical provider, consult with your medical provider. If you have at least one dose, that's good. We do recommend a second dose for a total of two. But right now, with all things being equal, if you have been vaccinated with two doses for the most part, you are not in need of another dose.
Dr. Dana Hawkinson with the University of Kansas Health System. Always appreciate your time and your expertise. Thank you for it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Be well, friend. Quick break. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, story here from ABC News.
What in the Sam Hill?
Cousin of Lyle and Eric Menendez is slamming L.A. County District Attorney Nathan Hochman, accusing him of being hostile, dismissive, and patronizing to the family and asking for him to be removed from the case. The cousin, named Tamara Goodell, said Hochman's conduct, quote, eroded any remaining trust in the DA's office, and she wants the case turned over to the Attorney General's office. Now, it's my understanding that the DA, Nathan Hochman...
He gave a 45-minute press conference today, the first 10 minutes talking about just kind of the case generally, and then he got into the three different paths to them being freed. He spoke about the first path being clemency from Governor Newsom, the second path being just a release on retrial, and the third being a resentencing.
The third track is resentencing. And we are here today to discuss that third track. The resentencing is a law that was passed by the state legislature in California, somewhat unique law to California, that basically gives the judge, under certain circumstances, the power to resentence someone who has been previously sentenced. In this example, potentially, the judge could resentence the Menendez brothers from life without the possibility of parole to life with the possibility of parole.
He then goes into talking about all of the conditions that come with that resentencing trial and the discussion of have they been rehabbed? Are they stand-up citizens? What is the possibility of them reoffending, not reoffending in murder per se, but just breaking the law in general and finding themselves back in jail? And it was a 35-minute dialogue saying the Menendez brothers are not good guys.
Is that what he implied? That they're just not good people?
He outlined the prior arrests that they had prior to the murder of their parents. He outlined all of the details surrounding the case as the case went on from the cover-up that they tried to roll out in the beginning. They have written evidence of them talking to somebody about, oh, we're going to go to this movie and buy a Batman ticket for 8 o'clock. And then we're going to call the cops
for an
to make
alibi,
it look like they were at the Batman movie. But then they get to the movie theater after killing their parents to find out that since the second viewing of Batman has already started that evening, they can't buy the tickets for 8 o'clock.
But we know all of these things. We know that they killed their mom and dad. We know that. We know that they concocted a fake alibi. We know that they went out and bought a Rolex after the murders. They probably shouldn't have done that.
They also have prison recordings of them talking to girlfriends, saying that the girlfriends must testify that their father drugged them and raped them, trying to paint the picture that the father was a horrible person. Whether or not the father
was a horrible person,
I have no idea. I obviously I wasn't there. Based on all evidence that I have seen, yes, he was a horrible person. But the DA basically made a very strong case over the course of 35 minutes that these two
happening.
Guys are not good guys, and this is not happening under his watch.
Okay. So there's only one other path.
Clemency.
And that would be for the parole board, which is under orders from the governor. And I think Governor Newsom is using the parole board as political cover here. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that necessarily. Nor do I think there's any doubting it, that he's using the parole board as political cover, that they will come back and say these two young men who have been in prison for 35 years, who by all accounts in prison post-conviction have been stand-up guys. You know, one of them started a religious group.
The DA also pointed out that is not true.
Oh, really?
You can bend a picture however you want to bend it. Oh. They have had a number of rules violations behind bars recent as 2022.
Most prisoners have rules violations.
That's true.
And that can be something as simple as, you know,
lights out at 10 o'clock
smoking.
Wasn't lights out.
I want to remind everybody that on September 27th in 2021, a judge approved the release of John Hinckley Jr. Mm-hmm. And this is sometimes the problem with our justice system, where I do believe there was a grave injustice done in this case in sentencing, and certainly in not allowing the jury to hear all of the evidence of the sexual abuse in that home. Then you have John Hinckley Jr., who shot Ronald Reagan, is a loon that thought he wanted Jodie Foster's attention, and we let him go.
Well, I believe he's on house arrest.
Okay, who would you be more afraid of living next door to you? Because it ain't Eric and Lyle. It's I'm hearing voices and Jodie wants me to shoot the president. I'm sorry, it is.
No, and it's true.
And Mr. Brady, don't forget.
His first name escapes me at the moment.
Brady Law.
Yes,
Brady.
I'm aware.
James
Brady, that's right.
So the DA compared the case with the Sirhan case throughout his entire monologue. And again, it was a 45-minute monologue where he had to take breaks to drink some water because he was talking so much.
Did he take any questions or just...
He did take... I didn't record the question part because it was already 35
minutes
long. You
give a lecture for 45 minutes.
This stuff shouldn't be political, and it always is. That's it.
Now, you've got to keep in mind, the Menendez brothers, and I honestly, I really don't care per se, but... I think 35 years is probably long enough if the allegations that they were sexually abused by their father are indeed true. But Sirhan, I think, is a bridge too far for me. Sirhan did not know who Bobby Kennedy was. Bobby Kennedy had never done anything to Sirhan. He was a lunatic and a zealot. And he killed the leading Democratic Party candidate for president in 1968. I mean, I think to bring Sirhan Sirhan into all of this
is silly.
Is just an apples and oranges kind of argument. I'm trying to figure out where he's going with that.
He was using it as the comparison of the rehabilitation behind bars and the fact that a lot of people are looking at that case as similar to the Menendez brothers case in what they have done behind bars in terms of getting degrees, starting groups.
They have received college degrees behind bars. That is correct.
But, if there is a documentary supporting the Menendez brothers, this DA today basically, as you kind of said it,
that.
Just said it was a 45-minute lecture, and it could be its own documentary about how bad the Menendez brothers are.
So now it all comes down to
not as well-behaved as a prisoner could be. I think is a more accurate description of what he's talking about. They haven't shanked somebody.
They were arrested multiple times prior to killing their parents for burglary.
Really?
Some of them I may have been aggravated. I can't remember.
So it really now comes down to what does the parole board find? Do they find that the Menendez brothers are not a risk to the general public?
They're 100% not a risk to the general public.
Well, but that, we don't know that that's what the parole board's going to find. If they do, Gavin Newsom has the political cover that he needs to offer them clemency. Well,
To
give them clemency. The real question becomes, what does Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, do if the parole board comes back and says, we do not think that they are suitable for release? Does he put all of his future political chips on one table and say, I don't agree?
And then there's a Willie Horton, and it ruins his political career.
Now, I know that there has been politics that has played into this quite a bit, but with the new prosecutor, I mean, he's got multiple years before he has to try again to be reelected.
So he would be up for reelection in 3.5 years.
Yeah.
That is another option that they have on the table, but that requires waiting another 3.5 years, and whoever runs against Nathan Hochman would have to beat him.
All right, when we get back closer to home, an arrest warrant has been issued for a man at the center of a dispute. I take issue with that word. Inside of a Grandview grocery store. And when we get back, I'm going to tell you what happened. But this is the sentence I'm going to read now, and I want you to think about this before we come back. Okay. The victim, who I believe is in the hospital, told law enforcement officials that none of the store employees or security members came to help her as this unfolded. She told them, quote, no one else in the store seemed to care or do anything. And this is that dilemma. Would you?
Should you?
Could you step in when someone is being assaulted in some place like a grocery store? Because in this case, no one helped.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Story here, when I turn my microphone on, you can't say things like that.
Uh-oh. Do I need a dump?
No, it's not a dump.
Okay.
I said crazy Barney of one.
Oh, that's safe.
Just trying to go to the grocery store after work, and then here comes Loon McLoonville.
Allegedly.
Enjoy your meth.
Story from Channel 5. An arrest warrant has been issued for a Kansas City area man, after charges were filed in connection to a grocery store dispute in Grandview. Records filed on Wednesday, March 5th, indicate that Dexter Hubbard, old Dex, 35 years of age from Independence, has been charged in connection to threatening grocery store dispute. Probable cause statement filed by the Grandview Police Department revealed that around 6:50 in the evening on January 11th, law enforcement were called to an area grocery store with reports of a disturbance. When they arrived, they found a shopper who reported that they had been in line to check out when a man later identified as Dexter Hubbard came up behind her and started to yell at the cashier. The victim told investigators that she politely asked Hubbard to back up as he was in her personal space. He allegedly began to yell at her.
She didn't have anything to do with this. She was just standing there trying to check out when he comes up behind.
And starts allegedly yelling at the cashier. He allegedly began to yell at her now and then grabbed a handgun from his waistline. A woman that Dexter Hubbard was with at the time also was yelling at the victim as the pair threatened her. They then left. The woman told law enforcement officials that none of the store employees or security members came to help her during the incident. She told them that, quote, no one else in the store seemed to care or do anything. By the way, he's been charged with unlawful use of a weapon, two counts of armed criminal action, harassment, unlawful possession of a firearm. If convicted, he could get 68 years.
68 years.
Behind bars.
And I'm just saying, do I want him to go away for 68 years? Yes, this is probably not a stable individual waving a gun around and screaming at cashiers and screaming at people in line at the grocery store. But I can think of a whole lot of other crimes up to and including murder where we do not see 68 years. Sentencing is always just puzzling to me.
Oh, for sure.
He's probably, you know, well, it says unlawful possession of a firearm, yeah. Which says to me he probably wasn't supposed to have the gun. But 68 years, wow. The second sentence that jumped out at me was the woman saying no one stepped in to help. Now, keep in mind, Scott, in this case, there's surveillance video. There are multiple witnesses. All of this is corroborated by what this woman says happened. The surveillance video shows how it played out as she reported it to police. It aligns.
I'm not surprised that store employees didn't step in to help. That's what they are told to do, or you're going to be fired. If you try to insert yourself in a confrontation in this store or in a theft or whatever, you will be fired. What is a little shocking to me is that the story indicates, or at least I infer, that there were security personnel on hand.
None of these store employees or, quote, security members came to help during the incident.
Then what's the point having security?
Are they armed security members?
Well, we don't know.
Is it just a guy in a Titan t-shirt standing by the door? I mean, I was appalled initially when you read the headline and said that nobody came to her aid until you read the line where he pulled a gun out of his waistband. I would have said, hey, man, can we calm down a little bit until the gun came out? And then I'm going to check out. I'll see y'all later. I'm not getting shot today. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Yeah, but when somebody acts a fool on a plane, people come out of the woodwork.
They don't have a gun.
Well, fair point.
And what did you want somebody else to do? Because they always talk about, well, now we're going to get into a gun conversation. But the good guy with the gun and the bad guy with the gun, it would have been a worse situation if another guy was like, hey, put your gun down. I've got a gun. Because then they're going to be shooting each other.
So, you know, I think the moral of the story is if there are, quote, security personnel on site, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm. We don't know.
It's smoke and mirrors, is it not, Scott? Because I agree with Sam. You also wouldn't want someone, you know, anyone that's not a career law enforcement officer, quite frankly, to step in when some crazy person is waving a gun around.
But when I've been in a grocery store and there is security personnel there armed, they're always, always off-duty cops. Every single time.
Do you feel better with that?
Yes.
I do too.
But you know, for example, the Mission Hy-Vee over here, shameless plug, every once in a while you'll walk in and they have an off-duty Mission police officer who's dressed in a Hy-Vee security uniform. But Scott, how do you know it's an off-duty police officer? Because Dana and I, over the last 15 years, have gotten to know a lot of them. And I recognize, this guy's from the Mission Police Department. Okay, fine. Whatever.
Somebody gets pulled over.
Now, I've always found it laughable that the Mission Hy-Vee thinks it needs security, but whatever. But if I'm, you know, in a grocery store in a bit of a rougher part of town, and I saw that there was an armed security person standing by customer service, yes, I would feel more secure. Until somebody pulled out a gun and they didn't do anything about it.
But even then, if it were an armed security guard, they can't just pull out their gun and shoot the guy. Actually, they can't even pull out their gun until it escalates to the point that he has fired that
gun. If they're an off-duty police officer, they most certainly can.
I think you are confused on the rules of engagement when it comes to policing.
All right.
When we get back, new scam. Who dis? We're going to talk about it.
News with Dan Weinbaum is coming your way in just a couple of minutes. Sam Stevie III, she is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.